playing the part of a chemist, Europe was to him the material for his experiments. But this material reacted against him. More than half undeceived, Bonaparte at St. Helena seemed to admit that there is an initiative in every people, and he became less hostile to liberty. Yet this did not prevent him from giving this lesson to his son in his will. To govern is to diffuse morality, education, and well-being. After all this, I hardly need show by fastidious quotations the opinions of Morelli, Babeuf, Owen, St. Simon, and Fourier. I shall confine myself to a few extracts from Louis Blanc's book on the organization of labor. In our project, society receives the impulse of power. In what does the impulse that power gives to society consist? In imposing upon it the project of Mr. Louis Blanc. On the other hand, society is the human race. The human race, then, is to receive its impulse from Mr. Louis Blanc. It is at liberty to do so or not, it will be said. Of course, the human race is at liberty to take advice from anybody, whoever it may be. But this is not the way in which Mr. Louis Blanc understands the thing. He means that his project should be converted into law and consequently forcibly imposed by power. In our project, the state has only to give a legislation to labor, by means of which the industrial movement may and ought to be accomplished in all liberty. It, the state, merely places society on an incline, that is all, that it may descend when once it is placed there by the mere force of things and by the natural concourse of the established mechanism. But what is this incline, one indicated by Mr. Louis Blanc? Does it not lead to an abyss? No, it leads to happiness. Why, then, does not society go there of itself? Because it does not know what it wants, and it requires an impulse. What is to give it this impulse? Power. And who is to give the impulse to power? The inventor of the machine, Mr. Louis Blanc. We shall never get out of this circle. Mankind passive and a great man moving it by the intervention of the law. Once on this incline, will society enjoy something like liberty? Without a doubt. And what is liberty? Once for all, liberty consists not only in the right granted, but in the power given to man to exercise, to develop his faculties under the empire of justice and under the protection of the law. And this is no vain distinction. There is a deep meaning in it, and its consequences are imponderable. For when once it is admitted that man, to be truly free, must have the power to exercise and develop his faculties, it follows that every member of society has a claim upon it for such education as shall enable his faculties to display themselves and for the tools of labor, without which human activity can find no scope. Now, by whose intervention is society to give to each of its members the requisite education and the necessary tools of labor, unless by that of the state? Thus, liberty is power. In what does this power consist? In possessing education and tools of labor. Who is to give education and tools of labor? Society, who owes them. But whose intervention is society to give tools of labor to those who do not possess them? By the intervention of the state. From whom is the state to obtain them? It is for the reader to answer this question and to notice whither all this tends. One of the strangest phenomena of our time, and one that will probably be a matter of astonishment to our descendants, is the doctrine which is founded upon this triple hypothesis: the radical passiveness of mankind, the omnipotence of the law, the infallibility of the legislator. This is the sacred symbol of the party that proclaims itself exclusively democratic. It is true that it professes also to be social. So far as it is democratic, it has an unlimited faith in mankind. So far as